Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rebook, the show where we talk about men and women slapping meat in the middle of the squared circle. I'm Golden Boy, of course, joined by Jake and Matt. We're going to talk about all the things happening in pro wrestling. And today, we're doing something a little bit different. This week, we're doing something a little bit different. We're actually going to do two episodes of Rebook this week. Different tone for the second episode. But guys, I'm excited for it. We haven't settled on the topic yet, but I'm looking forward to what we end up with. But this episode is going to be just about what we've seen this week, because there's been a lot of stuff. And I won't say that it's been a great week of professional wrestling, because honestly, it hasn't been. It's been a good week of professional wrestling, but it's been a great week for promos. And we've had a lot of really good stuff out there. So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. First and foremost, Hey. Fellas, how you doing? I miss your faces.
Ooh. Oh, fantastic. Well, let's give everybody a little update. Jimmy, where are you calling in from?
Actually, where in the world is Golden Boy?
Where in the world?
Yeah. I'm in Madrid, currently doing, I'm going to be hosting the VCT Madrid Masters event for Valorant Champions, which is going to be really, really fun. We've been doing these events all across the world for the last few years now, so our first international event is here in Madrid. Next one will be in Shanghai, and then after that, we will go to Seoul, Korea for some other stuff. So yeah, I'm excited. This is like the first international event of the year. And I flew in a week before we air, so fun. gotta love it. Esports, baby.
Seeing a lot of the hotel room.
Yes. Oh, dude, the hotel room's been great. I mean, look at this. I have a stone feature behind me.
I was gonna say, okay. Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Is that a succulent behind you?
Is it? It is. It's a fake succulent, but it's a succulent nonetheless.
Watch the YouTube video for the full experience, folks.
That's right. If you're watching on YouTube, you would have seen the succulent and you would have seen the stone wall feature behind me. But if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, I don't know. There are like a million podcast platforms out there these days. You should join us on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can also give it a like as well. Leave a comment down below. What was your favorite wrestling segment of the week? It could have been AEW. Could have been WWE. Could have been New Japan Pro Wrestling. Could have been TNA. It could have been Backyard Wrestling. It could have been ECW Revival. I don't know. I'm just making things up. But the point is, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Fellas. 100%. A lot has happened, but let's talk about what I think is pretty big wrestling news. Pretty big. Okada, one of the greatest wrestlers on the freaking planet, has signed to AEW, but he didn't just sign to AEW. He signed and he's a bad guy, which is something that you don't really expect to see that much. Usually when like a big hero character, you know, makes their debut, right? Danielson, I guess Adam Cole to a certain extent, maybe, you know, like a lot of these guys, they always come in as a face. But Matt, Okada didn't come in as a face. Do you feel like that was a blunder or do you think that was okay?
And I think it's one of those things. It remains to be seen. First off, surprise was kind of, it was very expected to happen, but I think a lot of us were expecting it to happen maybe this coming week, the big Boston business.
Sure, like maybe he gets the big moment, walks out, does the face shit, and then boom, he'll turn, right?
Maybe. But I think, you know, with, not to get into rumors too much, but with the expected debut, you know, the night this comes out, Wednesday night, the big business show that we expect to be there in Boston, probably a good idea to actually separate them, give them each their moment and stuff like that. But I'm trying right now to kind of process it and figure out if it's one of those, like, are we swerving for the sake of a swerve kind of moments? Like, hey, everybody's going to expect him to come in and be this kind of hero babyface. And he's kind of been a babyface for a long time in Japan. So let's just,
he's been babyface the entire time, right? Like, I mean, when was he last heel?
Unless I missed something in some of my, maybe some kind of short runs or like faction runs here and there, like years back, but for years and years and years and years now, he's been like a John Cena in Japan.
Well, what Tanahashi was before, you know, very, he just took the similar Tanahashi spot.
I can't say if it's a blunder yet. I don't know. I've been public before. I'm not super sold on the Bucks EVP bad guy gimmick as it is. So like turning heel, aligning with them, it doesn't make me super like, ooh, excited. But like as far as it working as a heel remains to be seen.
Gotcha. Jake, how you feel about it? How you feel about it?
Well, I'll start by saying my exposure to Okada is fairly limited. I haven't gotten to watch as much New Japan. Of course I've seen highlights of his. I know what the guy can do.
The
in
big
the
moments.
Ring. Yeah. I really like him coming in and just immediately he's a heel. I actually like it.
Okay.
And I think the reason I like it is because for people like me who have heard of him but don't know a whole lot about him, I mean he's coming in fresh to a whole new audience, honestly, this American audience who has limited exposure to him. Sure, there are, you know, obviously, you know, hardcore fans that have been following him and watch, you know, all the Wrestle Kingdoms and watch, you know, New Japan as much as they can. But there's jamokes like me who who aren't as familiar. And so I like I like the idea of him coming in and being like, you know what? This is basically a fresh start. Let me just see what happens. Yeah. Let's just come in here, try something completely new. This is the time to try it, if there was any, instead of, you know, kind of riding in on, you know, a reputation.
Like the baby face coattails, you know, reputation.
Instead of doing that, let's come in and let's just see how this goes. I like him coming in and immediately establishing that he's a heel. He can be a real problem for people on this roster, you know, and kind of putting the roster on notice, I think, is what that does a little bit. And I think him coming in with the Bucks kind of does. I mean, even though we may not be completely sold on what they're doing yet, they're still a big name. So for the people who aren't completely familiar with him, associating him with them, I think helps. Elevates him and helps elevate him to this new audience. So I like the idea of him coming in immediately establishing that he's a heel.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. I will say, though, so I've been mixed on it. And I enjoy a lot of the things that the Bucks do, because I feel like the Bucks kind of like they just get it most times. This one, and it's not like it's bad, but where I'm struggling with is that I really just want to like the three of them together again, because like I've been following the Elite for a long time. You know, not as long as like others have, but I've watched Being the Elite. Like that was like,
sure,
that was religion for a little while. Like week in, week out, just getting a new Being the Elite was so fun. And I come to like really just enjoy the Young Bucks as individuals. And I know that, like, I think what's rough is I know they're playing a character, right? Which kind of removes me a little bit, and it shouldn't be like this, because The Rock is playing a character, right? Like you can tell that The Rock is playing a character, but for some reason with the Bucks it just feels so much more obvious, and it's
more
not
put
like
on.
It's more put on. Like, you know that they were over the moon having to wrestle Sting in his last match ever, right? So you know that they were freaking riding like cloud nine with that one. And then they're coming out of it, and now they're going to work with a guy who they've been tight with for years. You could see how enthusiastic and excited that they are. But where I think, like, you got to get Okada doing some bad things. He's got to get like swerve level of bad. He can't just come in and be like, oh, I'm Okada and I'm going to buy a Kia, you know, because then I like Okada if he wants to buy a Kia, you know? I don't know if you guys saw that video, but it was really funny. It was like, what are you going to do with what car are you going to buy? And Okada's like, I'm going to buy a Kia. And I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought it was so funny. But again, it's like, I'm supposed to take these guys seriously as bad
guys. If he wants to turn heel, so really, he needs to buy an American car. That's what you're saying. Like,
get a
Hummer.
I'm
getting
a Ford Escort.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And see those tires fall off of the road, but get a Ford, damn it. You know?
Pickup truck.
Get a pickup
with
truck.
Dually wheels.
Some F4.
An F-350. Yeah, exactly.
An F-350.
extended cab, maybe the 450 is too much. Diesel engine. Yeah.
I don't know. That's my only real gripe with it. But honestly, it I know that, like, I mean, they had their match. It was awesome. Okada was great. They did good heel stuff. But see, the thing is, it feels like heel work in Japan, which is like, heel work in Japan is like, you're a little shit. You know, like, that's like the, like, what all Americans do when they're bad guys in Japan. They're just little jerks, and all they're doing is just like being annoying the whole time. And that's kind of how it feels right now. And they're going to need to turn the corner on this eventually. And honestly, you got to get some bad guy heat on Okada. You got to make him a bad guy. So that's what I'm going to be keeping my eyes on for the next few weeks. But that being said, I think it was really smart for them to do this only because it keeps Okada away from the title picture, which, you know, that the moment that Okada shows up, he's a championship contender. Like, the man's literally one of the greatest wrestlers in the world right now. So it would make sense that he would be a title contender. But so by doing this, you keep him away.
My question is, what do you think AEW is more in need of? Do you think they need a heel, or do you think they need a face?
I was just, so when you started talking, Jake, you actually kind of piqued my mind a little bit. I'd have to answer that question, you have to go a little bit deeper into the roster, but like, we just had Willcome, big ass baby face, right?
Yeah.
We got Swerve on this big babyface rise.
They navigated it well, though, honestly. The Will and Okada debuts, I think, were both navigated very well.
Yeah. No, I think overall, I want to say, it feels like they're heel heavy. I could be wrong.
That's how it feels to me, too.
But not crazy strong in either direction. But I will say this off of what you said, Jake. I was mixed on it, but I think I'm leaning more towards I'm liking it too, because especially you have a guy, especially to your Western audiences and people who might not be as hardcore into New Japan, they might, what they're going to know Okada for beyond his AEW appearances are,
he's a big
Wrestle Kingdom main events with Kenny Omega, right? They went 45 minutes and tore the house down. That's kind of it. He's a fighting champion and it can go.
Yeah.
And so immediately, instead of just bringing him in as this guy's really, really good, which is what they do with every wrestler in the world, is an AEW debuts him as this guy's the best. Bring him in, and it gives Okada, which I'm sure you want, a chance to, like, hey, be a character. Like, you're going to be on every week on television. You're going to be doing digital shots and YouTube stuff. We finally get to see you kind of. He might have some growing pains with it. Because it might be different. The Kia thing might not work or whatever, and some things might not land, but it gets him a chance to like be on a camera every week, developing a character, developing a story,
especially with
every
the Bucks
single week.
Because I could say, I mean, you know, I think we all could speak to this as like performers in our own right, right? Like, you could see how the Bucks, they're very good. They go off the cuff a lot, but they know how to like land the plane on a bunch of these segments. But with Okada, it's just, again, it's like Okada's so awesome that it's like, oh, I just want to love Okada, you know? So that's the only place where it's like, and even the Bucks, because like when that whole video with them and Okada, it was hard to just be like, yeah, no, these are bad guys, when like everything they were saying was funny and relatable and just overall just fun, you know? So, yeah, to your point, though, about whether or not they're heel-heavy or face-heavy, I think AEW's problem right now is that they really want their characters to kind of straddle a line, it feels like, be back and forth. Look at Samoa Joe, perfect example. Crowd goes nuts for him. They cheer. But he is a bad guy. He is a bad guy, right? He chokes out Swerve Strickland right at the end of their match. Again, he's a bad guy. So it's like, you got to establish that. And I think they really nailed it with Swerve, because we got to see this dude be demented, do some really messed up things. You need to do that. If you want this gimmick to go over, I think you need to do that for Okada and the Young Bucks. But
yeah,
I'm excited nonetheless, because I get to watch Okada every week, so I'm not mad about that.
Yeah, it is. It is very the possibilities are there.
They truly are. And that's what makes it so enjoyable.
And how is... I mean, another thing, another possible reason that they put him with the Bucks is because he's going to have to, I don't know how he's going to do promo wise.
That's true.
I don't know.
Oh, well, you already see it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But putting him in a group for sure.
His actions are going to have to speak louder than his words. So that you're exactly right. He's going to have to start doing some things that are far more morally questionable if they really are establishing him as a sure. Yeah. Dishonorable. Exactly. There's also the possibility that it could be bullshit. Maybe he's coming in. Maybe it's a thing of he's going to turn on the Bucks, and that was the plan the whole time, or you know, who knows?
That just seems so silly.
You're right, but
But I don't disagree with you. If they go that route, it would be funny nonetheless, because like the Bucks would sell the shit out of it.
How is this guy not? I mean, obviously, other than the how is he not a heel? He calls himself the Rainmaker, and dollars rain down from the sky when he makes an entrance. This is like old Shane McMahon kind of level of like, it's just like I'm rich and I make it rain. I make it gold wherever I go. Like it's kind of already.
Oh, by the way, have you noticed, cause you know, the Young Bucks do their thing. Yeah. Money comes out cause of Young Bucks, but you notice they changed it now. It's now business cards. It's their business cards that come out because they're executives.
Cause they're EVPs.
And Okada has the money. Which I think is really funny because I remember watching Revolution and they came out, did the thing, and then the cards came out and then they took the card, put it in front of the camera.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's really smart. And I said, oh, yeah, I guess that's smart because Okada's probably going to do the Rainmaker and they're probably going to do bills with him. And then I just didn't expect that he was going to be teaming with them coming
into literally that week.
So I thought that was actually quite funny and really, really good timing. Because, it's a common production thing. You just don't want to double up on the same thing. Otherwise, it just looks repetitive. We'll keep an eye on Okada.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on him. We'll see what happens, right? It seems like right now they don't really have any, like, crazy programs. Although, bold prediction, fantasy booking, real quick, Okada for the Continental Crown. He's going to win it.
I mean, they're obviously setting up in that kind of direction for sure, with Pac and Penta and everything. That's obviously going to be a 6-man situation, but I think we're for sure going Okada and
Don't be shocked too if in that 6-man, I think Eddie gets pinned by Okada. That's what I think
I don't mind it if they go in kind of a little bit of a wrestling 101 kind of way with that. Build to a tag match, the champion gets pinned. In that tag match, it sets up precedent to face the champion. Now you're off to the races with that.
Well, because also, too, it's like, what does pinning a returning Pac do, right? That doesn't really do all that much.
Mm-hmm,
and then who was the other one in the mix? It was Penta. Yeah. I mean, well, yes. Could Penta take a pin and be completely fine? He totally can. But
what sets
I think
up
for the story,
story,
it makes more
sense. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, the story makes more sense to have Okada pin what's his face, Eddie Kingston. And I would really like it if they were like to do like maybe 2 matches rather than just one. Like maybe it's one where like, you know, Young Bucks interfere and causes a problem and then Okada wins and then Eddie bounces back and then Eddie's like, no Young Bucks at the ringside. And maybe they do like a cage or some shit like that would be really cool. Because obviously, like, however Okada wins,
if you want to
as a monster babyface, or sorry, as a monster heel,
he's got to come in and have a statement win. So I agree that I think he's got a pin. I think he's got a pin, Eddie.
Yeah. He's got to beat him straight up. Because I feel like with Okada at this point, you cannot just – he's just not another guy. And I know like they want – I'm sure he wants to be like another guy on the roster. But nobody wants to be just
another guy.
Well,
yeah.
I'm sure he just doesn't want to come in and just be like, you know, immediately like trounce people, right? Because they already – dealt with that once, so I don't think that they want to do that again.
Sure.
And I can't see Okada, of all people, from all the things I've heard about the guy, and he seems like he's just an overall nice dude, so I really can't see
him. Yeah, but that was Japan.
Like, yeah, let me just go ahead and That's true. That's
that was
true.
Japan.
You know,
that was,
now
that was
USA.
Japan, Okada. Now he's in the, now he's in the home of capitalism. The birthplace of capitalism, where it's about hostile takeovers. That's all he cares
Trickle
about.
Trickle down economics? No.
Yes.
Shoving them down.
That's right.
The real question, gentlemen, before we move on, is can you guys pronounce his first name?
Kazuchika, right? Kazuchika Okada. Did I get that right?
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. I was hoping to. It's I've heard it said like 8 different ways by English announcers and commentators. It was so.
Oh, funny. I totally get it,
dude. Well, because it's funny, because you go like, you listen to other people and they've said this in the past, but if you listen to the Japanese ring announce, they literally call him Kazuchika.
Yeah,
they pronounce all the
which is not what they usually do, right? They'll usually like eat some of the syllables as they say the name
in
like
English.
Normal conversation. Oh, in English,
in English. Oh, but shit. Like, no, if you're listening to the ring announcer in Japanese, it's Okada Kazuchika.
Yeah,
God. But dude, then there were there were Americans who thought it was like Kajushka, which I used for a while. I thought it was all mushed together, and then it was like, no, but it's not Kazuchika in English. It's like Kazuchika.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
But
you kind of say all three. Huh. This is not a necessary part of the podcast. But.
No, I love this because honestly, like something that always fascinates me is when Nakamura came to the U.S. to wrestle for WWE.
Shinsuke?
Yeah, Shinsuke. Right. That was great. I mean, but shout out to like, you know, Mike Rome and those guys. Like they've always nailed it. But the one that always made me laugh was Michael Cole calling him Shin. And like, I guess that's okay because clearly like he still says it. So it's not,
it's a nickname. Yeah.
It's a nickname. Yeah. I just think it's like so weird. He's like, cause correct me if I'm wrong, but like, is it the first name Shinsuke or second name Shinsuke? First name or second name? Like I never really understood, or last name rather. I never really knew because I know that they address with both, in Japan.
Right.
Right. So I don't really know, like, I'm assuming his first name is Shinsuke.
Shinsuke. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just thought it was like really fascinating because like I've heard in other broadcasts, they'll just say Nak, right? When they were like abbreviate or like shorten his name. But Michael Cole said Shin. And it was just weird because it was like Michael Cole saying Shin, you know, it was like, and Shin gets him. And you're like, oh, okay. Shin. That's what we're calling him.
That's what everybody called him in the back. Like, that's what the boys would say to like, hey, Shin.
Oh, really?
Tonight? Or something. Like, yeah. That's like, it is. It's a nickname. It's like John instead of Jonathan.
Well, it's like with The Rock, they call him DJ. I know that they call him DJ because like that's his name or something like that.
That said, it is weird that Cole of all people would call him that on TV because like, especially something Tom has always been very big about me is like whatever they're listed as like on our show, like you could do their first name or their last name, but you can't like, I can't call like Michelle McCool, like Mishi. I can't, Mishi looks great. Her name is Michelle McCool.
Yeah.
You can say McCool got the pin. Michelle got the pin. You can't just be like, oh, Mitchie Poo got the pin.
I actually like, got really cool advice from Jim Ross regarding that when I did AEW years ago, because he said for heels, last name primarily. For faces, use their first name or their whole name, which I thought was very interesting, and I quite liked it because it's not wrong.
Last name, you know, puts like distance between you and between the character and the audience. First name has a familiarity. Yeah
there it is. That's why Jake the writer just nailing it. I love it.
It's politics.
I guess so.
It's the president, you know. It's president. To not get political, let's just say Johnson, right?
Like, yeah.
Johnson sucks. Whenever you hate him, it's Johnson sucks. But if it's like Bill. Bill's taking care of America. You know what I mean?
Bill Johnson's taking care of America.
That's my president, right?
Yeah. Oh, God. Imagine if we had a president named Bill Johnson. That would be just the most American name you could possibly
have. We could have one named Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, shit. Oh, snap, brother. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll bring that around again.
I know, right? Oh, man. Well, speaking of, as a matter of fact, segue. There we go. We just nailed it. That's why we're, it's a great podcast.
That's why we're professional broadcasters.
That's actually quite true. It's actually quite true. Yeah, man. SmackDown. Holy crap, dude. Firstly, and this is like not associated to the segment at the end, but I got to say two things. Firstly, Corey Graves and Wade Barrett.
Wade.
Just, I love them. They're just so good. They're so
very
good.
Very well.
I'm so happy that Corey Graves is in the chair one position. He's so good. He's always had it. It was only a matter of time. And hearing him call, like play-by-play call wrestling, just makes me feel warm inside my tum tum to 100%. Take it from Simon.
And he's done so yeah, great with really it because it hasn't really changed his style that much either. You know, nope. I was afraid that he would get in there and be very straight laced and
I'm gonna try to be Michael Cole.
Nope.
Correct. Right? But like, kind of thing. But he's done great. Yeah. Can't speak highly enough.
And I don't know if it's a WWE thing. I don't know if it's a Triple H thing. I don't know if it's anyone like giving him notes. But whoever told him, just do you, should get a raise. Because that was the best call. Because too many times you'll see announcers across a variety of different games just try and emulate the ace currently,
yep.
who is like the guy that's doing all the big matches. And we all know Michael Cole is the guy doing all the big matches. So it'd be very easy to emulate Michael Cole's style. He's got a very good evergreen style that just... like, it fits in pretty much every single circumstance, right? But for Graves, what I was worried about was the setups, the hype moments, building on the energy. And he is fucking nailing it. So, like, the intros to SmackDown just get me so hype because they don't do, like, the intro opening, like, segment anymore with the song and the trailer showing all the wrestlers. They just show you the news, like what's happening today. And it's clear that like where they're going is more of like, it's a wrestling show that's watching wrestlers rather than it all being like, I don't know if that makes sense, but like, yeah. It just feels like, they've shifted their tone. It's very noticeable on broadcast and I just really enjoy it. So yeah. That was the only thing I wanted to say.
Well, there
and
was a the story second that thing
ca- is, oh yeah, go
there
for
was
it.
A story that came out that I, both Cole and Corey Graves have said, basically,
yep.
No one's screaming at them in their ear anymore while they're doing commentary. So I think that yeah. probably has a lot to do with it as well. When yeah. you're not getting,
and you
just
know, when
absolutely...
I did AEW, I thought that was going to happen. I thought like Tony Khan was just going to be in my ear, just giving me cues. Dude, I got up on that. He said nothing. Also,
it's very much a Vince thing. Is yeah. he is the perpetrator of that.
Okay.
Right? That it's very much a him thing. Yep.
Yeah. I can't imagine being in that kind of atmosphere as a professional broadcaster. Like if I had my producer in Valorant just yelling in my ear, telling me what to say all the time, I would quit. So I guess that's why a lot of people did. But that being said, I think that there is a lot of really good things to take away from like how WWE has been producing their product, especially in Mania season. But something that I saw recently that I wanted to poke you guys about and see how you feel. So I think someone did the math of how much wrestling was on SmackDown and it wasn't a lot. And I guess the question is that okay? Because yes. Yeah, you think it's okay?
1,000%. I'll catch all the flack in the world for it. I don't care. I'm a big believer, especially when you have shows of this importance. Now, you have to be careful with how the non-wrestling is used. If you literally just have person with stick mic, center of the ring, next segment, person with stick mic, center of the ring. Next segment, right?
Again, repetition.
Then it gets dull. But the idea that most of what is happening on the show, especially leading up to your biggest show of the year, your biggest show potentially in a decade kind of thing.
Yeah.
It needs to be so character and story all driving that. And 90% of it is not going to be wrestling because we'll do the wrestling there. We have two freaking nights of it. It's going to be 16 hours of WrestleMania that weekend.
That's not even
man.
Counting NXT.
Like holy yeah. That's just the pre-shows and the shows each night. They're like 7-8 hours each.
That's
but,
nuts.
But yeah, so especially this time, it's Vince Russo was a fool in a lot of ways, but he had a couple of great ideas when it came to TV wrestling. Was the idea that TV builds to the big show, and that's what it's no. We're not tuning in to watch. Sometimes it's good to have. But we're not tuning in to watch 30, 40-minute matches every single week. No, we want to see the next step in the story. We want to see somebody respond to that. We want to see where this evolves as we get to the culmination at the pay-per-view. So I'm all for it as long as it's done well. And not overly of doing the same shit over and over.
I 100% agree. I mean, wrestling to me has always just been physical theater. You know what I mean? Like it's the important part is telling this story so that the wrestling matters, right? Or has a bigger impact. And I think that's to Matt's point, that's exactly what they're doing. It's coming up to the biggest show of the year, possibly of the last few years. They've been telling this massive, long-form story that everybody is wanting to see what's the culmination of it. And they just keep building the stakes and building the stakes. And one of the things that WWE did for a long time, and they have gotten better about it recently, I wonder why, is the fact that I got so tired of, okay, these two people are going to fight at this pay-per-view or at this PLE. Let's watch them fight 60,000 fucking times before we ever get to the pay-per-view.
Oh, and so by the way, every finish is going to be a roll-up pin.
Yes.
Like, every finish is either a roll-up pin, disqualification.
Disqualification. Yeah. Yes.
It's that 50-50 booking.
By the time you get to the PLE, I've already seen this match 100 times. And so that's why I'm glad that they're actually letting that kind of breathe a little bit and building these stakes even more. So I don't have a problem with it either.
Yeah. I guess I was like a little bothered, just a teensy bit, not like a big deal, because that last segment, which we'll talk about. Yes. Go for it. What?
You're saying you're bothered, but I also, you started this segment off by talking about like, hey, I read a thing here that said, you know, hey, on 2 hours of SmackDown, whatever, there was 15 minutes of wrestling.
Did I notice it?
No. But it's one of those things. If you didn't know that statistic, would you have cared?
Would you have cared? Right.
Ooh.
But is it seeing that go make you go, oh, on a two-hour show, there was only 9 minutes of wrestling or whatever?
Well,
or
I felt it in the show. I did feel it in the show. But I didn't really pay much attention to it until it was brought up on a Reddit thread. And then I was like, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense. But I guess the only reason why I'm a little bit bothered by it is only because I agree with you guys. There is a time to build your characters. But I also think that this is the opportunity, right, as these wrestlers, because, you know, I mean, yes, they're building characters, they're doing segments. But let's also not act like the reason why they're doing this is so that they don't prevent, so they can prevent injuries. You know, because you do not want to have any injuries leading into the biggest event of the year. So it makes sense, just like it would be in the playoffs or the Super Bowl, or whatever the case may be, right? You wouldn't have like your star quarterback playing in the regular season, like final two games before the playoffs start. So it's the same concept here, I think, and it's smart. But I also think that there is just like so much talent on the roster that you probably could have fit in like maybe one more match. Or like, good example, I haven't seen Bayley wrestle in like a minute since she won the Royal Rumble.
Friday. Right?
But she wrestled. Did she wrestle Friday?
And she's supposed to Friday.
Oh my God. I must have missed that.
Remember there was that tag match where Dakota Kai left her too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you're right. But you're not wrong. I guess what I'm saying is I haven't seen any singles like matches for Bayley that like have really stuck out to me, but maybe I'm wrong on that one. I guess, I don't know why. It just feels like weird, but man, maybe I'm just crazy.
The wrestling we have seen has been purposeful.
Oh,
like it has been,
and it's been good.
You know, it's been to tell that story. That's what they're doing with Becky Lynch. I think that they felt, and rightfully so, that they needed to start feeding Becky Lynch some big wins to make her a more credible threat to Rhea Ripley, who's just run roughshod over the whole roster. So they have, you know, they had her match with Nia. You know, she beat Liv this past Monday, and now she's going to have a last woman standing match against Nia next week. So they're all, you know, the wrestling itself is telling a story.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's, you know, that I think that's what's been good about what they've been doing lately is everything has its purpose. The storytelling stuff, the character work, the promos, the backstage segments have their purpose. The wrestling has its purpose. And I think that that's just a refreshing change of pace for WWE.
The one thing people need to keep in mind, and again, I'll catch flack from the purists. This is a TV show.
Yeah, right? That's true.
You didn't watch, you know, week after week after week of Grey's Anatomy and go, oh, there was only 3 minutes of surgeries on this week. No, know. You want to know who was going to sleep with who, or who was breaking up with who, or who was why they were fighting and why they were going to make up, and when was her mom going to wake up out of that coma and everything like that. And if there was some surgeries or some medical shit in there, great. No, it's a TV show that takes place in a wrestling company.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a perfect analogy because literally the basis of the show is to
fight. And there's also just not a lot of sex, and there needs to be more sex. I mean,
live sex celebration.
Yeah, man. Edge and Lita, let's go.
Let's run that back. Let's run it back 20 years later. Let's fucking go.
I think I'm okay with that one. I'm all right. But well, look, let's talk about what happened at the last segment, please. Though. So much happened. It was great. A few of the things that I noticed right away, again, you know, we're all performers, so we've all been in this. I definitely felt like Dwayne Johnson at a certain point in time was like, I'm going here. because it was weird. It was like they all came out and then he like set the stakes again, which I thought was like maybe he was supposed to do that beforehand and then he ended up doing it again. But what was funny was how they kind of like pivoted off of that. They definitely used it as an opportunity for, I think it was Seth to jump in. But I gotta say though, Seth Rollins in this entire thing, for a guy who was supposed to be wrestling CM Punk at WrestleMania and had his entire Mania season just completely upended, he has taken lemons and made not just lemonade. He's made lemon pie. He's made a lemon tart. He's made a lemon candy. He's just made everything with lemons. It's been amazing. I don't know. Maybe I just really want lemons. But no, genuinely.
I want to be on the record. Lemon is a bad pie. That's a terrible pie.
Okay. Yeah.
Just
that's
a
fine.
Straight
I'm okay
up
with that.
Lemon pie?
Yeah, lemon pie?
But we're fine with lemon juice, though, right? We're fine
with meringue pie?
Lemonade?
I mean, I don't want
lemon
juice. Lemonade, yes. I will absolutely give you lemonade.
Sure, I said lemon juice.
But lemon pie and lemon juice. Jesus.
Yeah. Limoncello? You ever had limoncello? There's a little lemon liquor. That thing's disgusting. A lot of Italians will be mad at me about that, but... I had two helpings, so I can judge it. No, but honestly, he really did take pretty much this crappy situation and turn it into something truly special. And man, I'm so pumped. Jake, how do you feel about that segment? Because I really felt like, again, it was just Rock doing Rock things, and it was good, solid.
It was. It's there. And we talked about this a little bit last week. They are getting a little repetitive. That's my only issue with them right now. It's I feel like we're rehashing a lot of the same things, and just to build more, I don't know, kind of feels like cheap heat to a degree. Like, how many times are we going to call Seth a walking clown emoji or walking clown show or whatever? Yeah. You know, it's
or a cross-dresser.
Or yeah, you could see Roman when he said that was kind of like, shit, that's not what I meant. And you
it was
see
just
that
funny because
really
honestly,
saying that.
It was good. It was like I didn't have much issue with it, but it was heelish, exactly. But I knew people were going to be mad about that. And,
oh yeah,
and lo
for
and behold,
sure.
That yeah,
yeah, because they edited it good. Out on the replay. They edited that part out on the YouTube video.
Yeah.
Which
I mean,
doesn't
it wasn't,
surprise me either.
It wasn't the cleanest comment. You could have said anything about the way that he dressed and just called it at that. But it was still, I mean, Roman loved it. You can tell he loved it and then didn't love it immediately after that.
Yeah. But the moment of Seth breaking in, I thought was great. He was intense. He was he did a lot with the little time that he had in the segment. And then the lead up to the big slap at the end was great. And I feel like there was something more that was supposed to happen, but they got cut short due to time.
That's what I think too, because it the slap happened and then I'm like, oh, that's crazy, and then it just faded to black.
Yeah.
It was like,
and then have you seen the footage of what happened after?
No, I didn't. I didn't because I was on a plane.
They just leave.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I get, once if you know you're dark, you're like, screw, we're not going to give it away for free. We're not going to give this fight or whatever away for free. It is a very strange thing. Like, I've been in production meetings where like people are like, when you reach that point, this is an old acting thing, like an old stage combat thing. It's a pro wrestling thing. The idea is like, if you get that close to someone, that's why the... This is a little bit of an aside, but the nose-to-nose is my absolute least favorite thing in fighting or wrestling or anything.
Okay.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Because the rule in theater, in real life, if you're that close, there's only two things that happen. Mm-hmm. You fight or kiss.
Yeah. Fight or fuck.
Fight. Yep. You fight him. Nobody.
That's it.
Nobody just goes...
Yeah, and then walks away.
Yeah. Maybe because in pro sports, like, there's rules that if you do strike at like a press conference, you know, you're gonna get fined or whatever. Maybe I can buy that. But anyway, you wouldn't throw hands, a slap, and that slap counts without there being some kind of like retaliation. Like if that was on TV anywhere else, a brawl would break out.
Yeah, because that happened at the press conference.
It happened
right?
at like, the press conference, right?
He slapped Cody, and then all the security people came out and then kept them apart from each other.
Which is what I would have hoped would have been happened either, again, off camera or they should have had that happen off camera, film it for digital,
they had,
put
like,
it on
all
YouTube.
The security guards. They were like so big, and all the security guards, everyone protecting. And then that was hilarious because you can clearly tell that they're in a dressing room with no doors. And then somehow, some way, they managed to escape. I thought that was just so fucking funny. Because like
it's a little hashtag the little things.
Yeah. We've all worked in either like an auditorium or an arena of some kind at some point in time, right, in our production work. And I can't recall a single time that I've seen a dressing room that had two doorways. Unless it was Johnny Carson's dressing room when I worked Overwatch League. We were in the Burbank studios. And little aside, we found out that Johnny Carson had a secret door installed in the bathroom so that if he had a girl come through after the show, he could just push her through the door. And she would just go
all
through.
Class.
And then he would get a note that his wife was coming down. And then...
Good Lord.
Yeah, all man, class I, that Johnny Carson.
Not surprising at all.
No, I mean, dude, you know, just a different time. Just a, not a good time, but a different time. But yeah, so I agree. I felt like it was just really bizarre that it ended that way. You also bigged up all of these security guys. You had Adam Pearce as well as Nick Aldis there,
Nick
too.
Aldis, yep.
You could have easily had Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce be like the officiates of that scene. Yeah, so I think that they probably just didn't want to overcook it too much and have too many people in the ring at once. But yeah, a little bit of a missed opportunity. But I do agree with you, Jake. It's good, but it is getting a little bit like... I'm glad Mania is like around the corner because at this point, all this like... I'm talking on this show and then I'm talking on this show and then I'm talking on this show is kind of getting a little bit repetitive.
Like I noticed that too. Like there's the idea of like this has all been so massive, especially with The Rock coming back into the picture, that like they have both with him and just the story in general and Cody and then the backlash and all, it has been such a powder keg thing that they've been doing a great job of like, we don't have to do shit kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
It's that we can stare off, we can say, you know, really short promo, like, and people, the energy is there. Like that was, I noted it to you guys, the energy in that building was unreal.
God,
and
they're selling out crowds, man. Like they're going insane currently.
But this is also kind of why I was like back at the press conference, I was like, I wish they would have played The Rock, like heel turn a little bit, like give that 2 weeks before he officially goes like Roman, and then this could have played out a few weeks. This all could have played out the same way a week or two later, and then like this Friday would have happened right before Mania. Slap back, pay you back for fucking 4 weeks ago or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
4 or 5 weeks ago. So that I do. I'm like, I'm curious. What else are we gonna do without short of fighting? What are we gonna do?
Right. That's
over the next. We still have 2 full weeks of television.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean you've got four SmackDowns.
I was looking at the calendar right now. I'm literally looking at the calendar and seeing like, we have a lot of content.
We still have four SmackDowns left, And it's
because there's a SmackDown right before Mania.
Right.
Which will probably be massive.
Right. But I'm kind of where you are, Matt. I'm like, aside of them getting physical, I don't know how else they can build, because the stakes are already there. The stakes are already established. Like, it almost feels like this challenge for the tag match was maybe thrown down a little early, or at least the stipulation for it was maybe thrown down. Like, it feels like there's nothing left to really reveal, or there's nothing left to really build to. And now it's just kind of this chemistry of like, okay, how much of this can we pour into that without there being, you know,
well, I think that's
if we
where
pour
you
too
lean
much
on
of
Steph
the, too much of this, it's going to be explosive. Too much of that, and it fizzles out. It's like, it's this, I mean, you know, they're handling nitroglycerin now. Like, they got to be really careful with losing. I mean, they are. I mean, it's one wrong move and it can lose some of the fervor that you've built, you know. So I don't know. I just don't know where else this can go other than them just calling each other names the rest of the time. So I'm interested to see what the developments are from here, because Rock's got, I think, at least three more appearances. I don't know if he's on this Friday, but I'm pretty sure on the three leading up, I think he's supposed to be scheduled for SmackDown. So I don't know. I don't know where it goes necessarily from here, but
I think that what would be the smartest play for them to make, honestly, Jake, is for them to do Seth and Cody tag team matches. So 1 week he'll fight, like, maybe they'll fight like it, because they got to establish that too, right? Like, Seth and Cody are going to tag team for, and it's going to be for the most important match of Cody Rhodes' life.
So,
and
let's get our chemistry.
That, you also, yeah, also you have.
So is it like X-Men Danger Room? Like, do they go get people?
That's what I think. I wouldn't be shocked, like, hey, for like the next 2 weeks. Who's Wolverine?
Yeah, but is it just like them?
Who are the Sentinels?
Oh,
like the Viking Raiders? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it would just be Solo and Jimmy. I think like what they'll do is, because they got to also keep the Jimmy J story going, right? So I think if Jimmy is fighting Seth and Cody, I could see them maybe trying to cheat, and then, oh shit, Jey Uso shows up, and then Jey causes a match for Jimmy. Jimmy eats the pin because, again, got to protect Solo. And then you go, because he hasn't been pinned yet. So then you go into a Jimmy taking the pin. That gives you 1 week, right? And then maybe the next week it's like, oh, Seth and Cody are going to try their hand at taking on like Imperium or some shit like that. I don't know. And you just like give them a tag team that they can wrestle that keeps them busy for 2 weeks. You just need 2 weeks of busyness. And then you can just sandwich it with a promo, which is something they already did. And then you sandwich it with another promo right before Mania. And then you're good.
And
that's
also
what I think.
Give me a little bit of the, it's a little 101. It's a little something we've seen before, but you have to give me, I think for everybody, you have to give me a little bit of that. Seth accidentally hits Cody. They don't work so well as a
team. Can they coexist?
It's a little by rote, but give me a little bit of that of like, oh shit, are we going to be okay? Like, this is a week away or whatever. Yeah. They have that kind of moment of like, we can't let this shit happen again.
I think Drew's going to step in a lot more in this story, because Drew has been a beneficiary of all the Bloodline antics. Yeah. And he's the one who hates the Bloodline the most, quote unquote, right, doing air quotes for the listeners. So I would really like to see Drew maybe get involved in a little bit in this story. And also because of what happened, right? When like he just walked past him, like very clearly there just needs to be more. They got to continue to cook this. Maybe Drew costs some matches for Seth. Maybe Drew causes an issue where, cause like Seth Rollins still has to defend his World Heavyweight Championship. So that needs to be a part of this story, and I do feel like they're gonna get there. But either way, though, I think at this point I trust Triple H. I trust him.
No, they are cooking on another level right now. They are like literally not even, everything's not perfect, but I mean, there are so many stories that are just hitting so very, very well heading into this show.
They've been blessed. And
they've got the, just the vibes on their side, man. They got like, they got the
Look at it. They got the Logan Paul feud, right? Like, Logan Paul has been honestly money, and I'm not even a big fan of him as a YouTuber, but as a wrestler, my guy's been amazing. Yeah. Right. You also have the Imperium storyline with the Intercontinental Championship, which we'll dive into in a second. You know, and also the Judgment Day angle has been very fun to see kind of play out over the course of these last few weeks. I genuinely do believe they're going to be face by the end of WrestleMania. I think they're going to become good guys, and we probably
big ladder match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Mania announced too.
Yeah, and I could see them, you know, I could see Judgment Day walking out with gold or Imperium walk. I mean, I don't know, but let's talk about it. Our last thing to discuss here. There was a big gauntlet match on Monday Night Raw, Who's Who. It was a little bit bizarre the way that they put it together, yes. Especially considering that, like, Ricochet, as much as I love the man, and he's just the nicest dude ever. Ricochet, I'm sorry, but he's been taking L's on camera for a very long time now. So it was quite bizarre that he just went up to Adam Pearce and was like, I need an Intercontinental title shot. And it's like, how do you ask for that? That's like, like, what's your record? You know, like, yeah. It's just like a little, like Ivar, like, probably belonged there more than Ricochet at this point. But I didn't get a chance to watch it because I've been here in Spain. So I'll let you guys take it. What'd you think of the match? What'd you think of the final result? Oh, boy.
The match was good. All the players in it are awesome.
What was the order? Because I didn't see the order of eliminations.
Oh,
like,
God.
When did Nakamura go out?
It was JD... McDonough and Ricochet to start. Ricochet takes out McDonough. Then it was Bronson Reed and Ricochet.
Oh, okay.
And Reed took
Bronson
out
Bronson Reed bits. Yep.
Ricochet. Okay. And then it was Sami Zayn against Reed. Sami pins Bronson. Then it was
so weird.
Then it was Nakamura and Sami. Sami beats Nakamura, and then it was Gable to finish. So that was the order.
And what was the finish for Gable and Sammy? Was it like a
roll
clean
up
pin?
Yeah. Well, so here's the interesting thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whichever. So I've got a little bit on this. So there's a lot of speculation over the last couple of... There's a lot of speculation that Gable... maybe people are hoping will be added, something like that.
Yeah.
A couple of things. One, he's been doing a lot of this work, social media, really pushing this idea of how personal this story is, the stuff with his kid, his last match with Gunther, everything.
Yeah.
And two, people are showing clips. The pin is a roll. It's like a victory roll, but Gable's almost all the way up on his neck and his shoulders are off the ground, but they counted it.
And the ref was behind Sammy.
So when he did the count. So that was intentional. So it had to be intentional.
Well, maybe.
So here's my worries. They could go. My one thing is there's a couple things that would make me feel like it was intentional. Doesn't mean they can't do a last minute pivot, but one thing, having worked in that system, a lot of this Gable story has been pushed himself on his own social media and everything like that. And it's taken off. But that doesn't always mean that they're going to fold it into creative.
Mm-hmm.
They've played with it a little bit. They've talked about it on TV. Yeah, exactly. We're not in that era anymore, thank God. People like...
Yeah.
But it's... My thing is, if they were going with that Gable story, why did he not run the gauntlet?
Mm-hmm.
Get to Sammy, or Sammy joins, you know, get to Sammy at the end or something.
Should have been Gable first, running it, Sammy fifth, Sammy wins.
Yes.
Right?
And then with a suspect pin, you know, and Sammy being the good guy, it goes, oh shit, you know, fight for him to be in the match. Gunther says no. And something happens to put him in the match. The fact that Gable comes in last, I feel like this, he just rolled a little high and it was the intended finish. I still hope maybe the social media push and everything like that, maybe gets Gable in the match. I think that's the way better story. Yes, I know Sammy deserves everything. He's one of the best going. He main evented last year. You know what I mean? Yeah, one of the nights and everything. Like, Gable's been so good. I think he's doing some of the best shit of his career. I told him so last night. And they did follow up with him, like, for .com digital stuff. And, like...
So they are following up with it, though. So that gives me hope.
There's room there. Yes, exactly. So that's where I'm at. I'm like, I mean, I'm 50-50 on the idea of, like, oh, this is part of the plan. But I think either way, they can get it there should they feel the need to. And I hope that they do, because he has such a good story going into this. And he's doing really good work, earnest, emotional work, too.
Well, also, too, a triple threat gives them a very clear opening to for Gunther to not to Gunther. Get pinned. Yeah, because I think if you want Gunther to, like, move on realistically, like, you can't keep a guy like that in the IC title picture forever. So if you need a guy to move on, you know, you and he already beat the record. So he's already, like, number one all time.
Sure, so that's not something
So at this point,
about.
Like, you're just adding more, you know, frosting to the cake. So I think that maybe you can get away with that. And I wouldn't mind if it was a Gable pin onto Sammy and then Gunther is like, no, I didn't lose my belt. You need to beat me. And then Chad pulls off like a miracle win over Gunther. And you can either run it back again or you just kind of have them move on, whatever the case may be. But you give Chad Gable like a really solid face run. And because Sammy was the one who took the pin, you can lean Sammy to become like a little bit of a bad guy. Because I like bad guys, Sami Zayn. It's fun, you know, like, hey, I think a lot of guys just have a really good time being a heel. So I would like to kind of see them maybe take that route. But it's also weird, too, because it's like when it comes down to all their champions right now, I do feel like they're really in a corner as to how they navigate removing these belts from, you know, these, like, how do you get the belt off of Rhea? How do you get the belt? Well, I mean, Roman, I think we now have a very good path for that. How do you get the belt off of Gunther? How do you get the belt off of EO? Right. Well, I guess maybe EO is a little bit more justifiable, especially with Bayley. But yeah,
Logan Paul,
like, because I kind of feel like Logan Paul needs the belt. Otherwise, like, where did he go? You know,
certain characters benefit more from the prop of the title, right? It gives them their character clout and everything like that. For him, I think that's really important. Like, and for EO, for Rhea, for Roman, you beat them. Wrestlers can be beat. Even your most dominant wrestlers can be beat when the stakes are right. Becky's a right person to do it. Bayley with this story is the right person. It fits. Cody with Roman. Like, the people can be beat. This idea that you have to always come up with some kind of shenanigan scenario, even for your dominant. You don't always, like, even Gunther can be. If we know what this summer we're putting him into the world title picture, we can beat him on somebody on the way up.
Yeah.
It can be a hell of a match. Gunther can dominate. He can look amazing. But you can beat him. And he's won enough where you can finally beat him. Especially, you just got to make sure the person doing it is on in that spot. And I'm just wondering if they're still asking that question with Gable, when I think they should be saying yes.
Yeah, because I think enough people are into him. You know,
I think so too. Look at the comments under the post, like the first 10 with 500 likes and stuff like that are all, we want Gable. We want Gable. Where's Gable?
This guy was short, cool. Given the short end of the straw, man. Like, for real. Shorty G, like, goodness gracious. That was, like, an absolute blunder. So the fact that he was able to, like, recover from that. We're talking about an Olympic freaking athlete, you know, like, an absolute generational talent.
But that's what
really
they started
Chad
doing
Gable.
Is they started letting him showcase that more. And instead of...
I mean, well, I think the match with Gunther,
like,
was the...
And instead of, like, shoehorning him into a gimmick, they're just like, I don't know, go be what we hired you to be, what we know you can be, what we've trained you to be. And he's showcased how good he is in the ring. He's gotten even better on the mic. You know, he's put over Alpha Academy, who just had a rough Monday. Boy, the whole...
Oh, I didn't see
Candice LeRae. Good Lord. Go look
at
that.
Oh, yeah, I saw
GB.
That.
Jesus Christ.
I saw that. She brought up her, I forget her name.
Yeah.
She brought up their dead brother.
Maxine.
brother.
Maxine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's a better yeah. way.
We're doing the Lana angle, folks.
Good it's thing the Lana your brother's dead. I'm like, whoa, where the hell did that come from, Candace?
But good to see Candace getting back in there, man, because she's just too good to like not have like involved in anything. So, because for way too long she was meandering about, and I'm happy to see her like back in, you know, because Candace is awesome. Yeah, man. It's been a good, it's been a solid week. It's been a solid week. We've had a lot of fun. Obviously, you know, things have been happening across AEW and WWE, but what we've learned is that there's just too much to talk about. But the good news is, people, that even though there's so much pro wrestling news to talk about, there's a place where you can come and chat with us. That's right, the Rebook Discord. That's a plug, baby. And so get in there, have some fun with it. We already got a few people joining up and joining in on the conversation. Myself, Jake, and Matt will be there as well, jumping in, chatting things. We got spoilers channels. You know, I think we got a fantasy booking channel. So, like, just jump in there, share your theories, share your thoughts. We've had some pretty good ones. As a matter of fact, I kind of feel like we can close out this episode with one of our fantasy booking angles, because our dear friend Dresden came back again with another fantasy booking angle, and we got to give him some love here because he's participating in it. So if you want us to maybe read some of your fantasy book and put in the fantasy booking channel on our Discord, but he says here, Mania XL tag team ladder match. This will cook more than we know the other five teams. This will cook more when we know the other five teams. So this will be a tag team ladder match, right?
This has been announced.
Which has been announced. And the best chance to split the belts. And that's the thing. He's saying you can split the belts here. And all you need to do is have the two pairs of belts hung separately and too far apart to get them at the same time. One team climbs up, grabs one belt, and now the SmackDown belts are on the other side of the ring up for grabs. A little extra twist that he'd like to add. First team to grab belts aren't eliminated from the match, so we can still continue the, you know, can they unify them? Can they not? How do you feel about that? Or should they just do a tag team title unification ladder match?
I am a fan of less belts, so I don't want them split. I would rather them be one championship. The brand split isn't existing as it is anyway. Mm-hmm. But again, we go through this every like 5-6 years. As much as I like having the, you know, this kind of two top guy, titles with the, I would like to see a world where maybe we have one world title, one women's title, an intercontinental, a US, and a tag team title. And women's tag titles. I don't like separate.
I kind of think WWE needs a women's mid-card title.
They absolutely need a women's mid-card.
I would agree with that.
I think they do.
I'm okay with three men, three women's. I think that's enough titles. I think you have a world title, an IC or US, and then a tag title. Then you have a women's world title, women's US title, what a TV title, whatever you want to call it, and then tag title.
I
think that breaks it down. I think that's a neat idea that Dresden brought up. Like, for if you were keeping the belt separate, I just hope. I want to see less belts in promotions because there's about 80 bajillion on TV right now.
Well, you know, you're okay with the Ring of Honor and the AAA and the CMLL and the AEW title
and the Japan tags and the Royal Rumble winners and Triple Continental Crown Conclusion Construction.
Eddie Kingston walking out with 15 belts around his waist. My guy looking like
everybody's a belt collector. Everybody's a belt. Kenny, Cardona, Eddie, everybody. We all have belts. I get it. Yeah. The fucking Kansas City Chiefs got 16 belts now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They all have belts. What do you think of Dresden's story? Dresden's fantasy booking, Jake.
I mean, I think it's interesting. I really like it. It made me think of an idea that I had one time of I thought it'd be interesting to have a tag ladder match for titles, and two members of opposite tag teams are climbing up the ladder, and they both pull a belt. And now they're champions together, and they've the two of you pulled the titles, so you're the champions now. And now it's like, how do we do this? We don't even like each other because we were on opposite teams, and now we're thrown together. I've always thought that would kind of be an interesting finished
and
your
how
match.
Can they possibly coexist?
Yeah. It's the ultimate how can they coexist. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to call it, though. We went a little over, but man, who cares? It's our show. We can do whatever we want. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week of Rebook. Good news is there is another episode that's going to be coming out this week. Did we set on a day that we were going to release it?
I believe Friday. Friday. Okay. So main show on Wednesday. Our kind of whatever you want to call it, bonus extra episode will be out on Fridays.
Yeah, and for those of you wondering, don't worry, we're just filming it back to back because we're just not machines. So we got you covered. There's going to be so much to come. We hope you guys keep providing feedback, reviews, all that stuff. But we cannot stress enough. Join the Discord. Join the conversation. Let's have some fun. Chat wrestling. And overall, just have a good time with the thing that we love. And if you have any thoughts regarding what we talked about this week, you're watching on YouTube, comment section down below. If you are watching on Spotify, Apple, or listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the other podcast platforms, feel free to follow Rebook on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Okay, Mas, where else are we? I don't remember. Maybe it's just there. Follow us on all the social media platforms. Rebook Pod. We'll love to hear from you. Let us know what you think. But guys, that is going to be a wrap for this week. We will catch you next Friday or this Friday for a bonus episode. And of course, more shenanigans on Rebook. Thank you guys so much for watching. Catch you later.
Peace. Bye.